to Widow Too Soon. I'm Michelle Bader Ebersole, and I'm sitting here with my friend and co-host, Mark Massaro. How's it going, Mark?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm all right. How's 2024 for you? Is it a good year?
You know, it's crazy. I haven't seen you since last year.
I know, right? Like, that's a long time. We haven't podcasted since last year.
I know. It's been forever. Forever.
Oh, I gotta ask you. I didn't even ask you offline. Did you notice I put new music for the new year?
I noticed new music.
Intro. Yeah, it was a lot more
calm. For
season three, and it's a new year. Because Joel always is like, what's that music? You know, the kind of like, you know, like the fast music.
Yeah, I can picture it.
He's always like, it's so loud and everything. So then I play this one. He's like, that's much more calm. I'm like, it's new season, new year. We have different music. So
we have mellow music.
It's more mellow. So I went through, it took me a long time to choose something a lot more mellow. So anyways, yes. That's a side note. That's different for this year. But anyways, how was your like New Year's Eve? Did the kids make it up till midnight? Like, what'd you do?
No, the kids did not. But it's because I put them to bed. But Tina and I did.
And that was cool. You guys were together.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. So as we were recording last time, she got here at the tail end of, she got to my house at the tail end of us recording. So
nice.
And by the way, she said to say hi to you.
Oh, tell her hi. Well, I can tell her hi. Hi, Tina. I know you're listening.
Yes. So anyways, it was great. We had a great visit and, gosh, it's always, so I'm in that stage right now because she had to drive back to her neck of the woods today. And it's, I know you remember this, you're not there anymore, you're not cool. But it's always like this, like depressing, I'm just kidding, I would way rather be married.
I do remember
But yeah. It's always like the first couple of days are like, back to life, back to reality.
Reality sucks
sometimes. But anyways, it doesn't, because life is great. Life is a blessing. But you know, it's just one of those things, whatever. It's, you know, it's so awesome being able to like hang out with her and spend time and do dinners together and just all, you know, praying together. And then like so many sweet things, like, so she, like, while I was at work, she like cleaned my whole house like did the kids' laundry and just all this stuff. Right. And it was like, I can't tell you, like, I'm just going to embarrass myself, whatever. Like, I totally started crying because I was like, you don't understand. Like, I've been carrying this burden for like 5 years now of just doing everything. And, you know, and now it's like, it's even harder because like I'm working, you know, 50 hours a week and, and so I still have a house to maintain and kids to feed and homework or whatever, all the, well, they do homework and adventure club. Anyways, just a lot of stuff. So to come home and have all this stuff done and she made dinner and it was just like, it was awesome. It was just, it was so great. And so, anyways, we had a really great time and, you know, we, you know, celebrated New Year's and hung out and I went to work some days and whatever. It was awesome. We went out to dinner and just doing life feels
right.
It's just a little, the best way I can explain it is it's like a dose of normalcy and which you are now reliving, which is awesome.
Yes.
You are living normalcy. Oh, I closed a ring.
Oh, you got an Apple Watch now?
Yes. Yep.
I bought
Tina and I an Apple Watch for Christmas.
Oh, that's so fun.
So we've been both enjoying that a lot. It's super cool. But which is weird because I only put on my watch about an hour ago. So apparently my bar is pretty low.
You already closed your rings.
And like literally I haven't done very much. So I got to change that, I guess.
It feels good. Android user to now you wear an Apple Watch. Like, what happened?
Oh, I shouldn't tell that to Rob. I'm going to get ripped on for that one
sure.
Rob's the Android guy. He said I turned to the dark side. So,
no.
Anyways, I like it better. We've talked about this several times. So, anyways, that's the gist of what's been up with me. I'm sure there's lots more things I'm forgetting, but how was your new year?
Pretty good. So, side note, when my kids were little, we would call it Kid New Year because the ball drops in East Coast and you can see it early. So we'd put them to bed, with Luke. We would do the countdown at 9 and then put them to bed. And they thought they were, they stayed up till midnight, but
They're like
we didn't.
10, 9, counting down. They're like 9 o'clock. So, you know what's funny is I'm now on the East Coast.
Oh, right.
And
You can't do
so,
that.
well, yeah, but I did get to make a Facebook post to tell everybody, all my West Coast friends, that I'm from the
Ah,
future and that I'm
funny.
messaging them from 2023. That was last year. I know
Funny,
what year it
yes.
is.
Okay. So anyways,
But we
we did
partied
some.
like it was 1999.
I know, right?
Go
Wow.
on, sorry.
Anyways, so well, let me back it up. So when we last podcast, it was Luke's birthday. So that night we
Right.
ended up doing Red Robin, just me and the kids, and it was good. And I think, I don't know, they had a little more grief this year. So like we got home and Haley's like, no, we're making the cake. She made a cake and then she was like, I want everyone to sing. And like the boys just didn't participate. It was kind of weird. So me and Haley sang. So that was interesting.
What
Interesting
was
day.
the cake? Not confetti. What
Cherry
was the
chip.
cherry chip? That's
Yeah,
right.
I don't
I
like it,
remember
but
it
it's
sounded good.
something. Yeah, they love it, but I don't. But anyways, that was interesting. They just kind of talked through their grief a little bit. Like, Peyton's like, I just wish it was like it used to be, and Joel had given us space, like we were doing this by ourselves and stuff. But that was interesting. And then the next day is New Year's Eve, and we went inner tubing. Which was
Nice.
interesting, only there was no snow. Like all the way up there, we're like, where is the snow? So they had like man-made snow. So it was just kind of like a little baby hill and kind of muddy and stuff, but it was still fun. My niece and nephew went with us, and my brother and sister-in-law, and my kids didn't seem to have that great of time. But I tried. It's like this year I've been trying all these new things and they get bored, but whatever, we tried. I still had fun. It was great. And then we just did some games and hung out at home that night. So very low key. It was fun. So that's like the good stuff. The negative, I'm still having my issues. So on Tuesday, so the day this comes out, I'm having my MRI. So hopefully by the next podcast, I can tell you about that. Like good news, like all the headaches, all that stuff is gone. But like I told you last week, I was diagnosed with sudden hearing loss, but it's so minimal. I don't even know when I see the specialist if he's gonna say that's what it is. It's what the audiologist said it was it, what it was. They instantly put me on 10 days of prednisone, which I cannot sleep and it's horrible, which makes the ringing worse because you can't get any rest. And so it's been kind of an emotional roller coaster and a lot of praying and a lot of asking God to take this from me. And just like, what am I learning through this? Why is this happening? But just trying to trust him, like, because some people have this forever. So that's what scares me. But I also know there's treatments, so you don't notice it as much. Like, I have hope. Like, I'm not going to just give up and be like, whatever. And Joel's been so kind and so just, it's just weird being the other end of it, where I'm the one that's having trouble and like crying in the night because I can't sleep and I've been having nightmares. Like, it's weird. Like, a
Oh,
lot of,
really?
I think there's almost like a spiritual attack kind of happening. And so he's been there to pray for me and help me. And so I've been trying to get into hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which has been known to help. Kaiser will not cover it. Like I've been trying, and of course they don't do that. So
Yeah,
I may
of
go on my
course.
own on Monday, like just start doing a few treatments and just see if it helps. But I'm not even sure I have the hearing loss. Like it could just be like weird tinnitus, like just comes. So the plan for next week is I will have an MRI on my head and neck, and then also on my spine from all the nerve stuff that was happening before. And then Thursday, I go to the audiologist to do the same hearing test again to see if it's improved, which I think it's like the same. I haven't noticed any improvement, but I never noticed it was gone either because I still have above normal hearing. And then I'll go to the head neck surgery, which is the same as ENT. They just renamed it for Kaiser for some reason. So I will go see him on Thursday as well. And hopefully there'll be some relief. Hopefully the scans just show everything's normal. Like that's what I'm really like hoping that I still think it's that whole, if you guys remember my whole saga about how I was on way too much B12 for B12 for 12 years, I think it's that. Like I really do. All these weird things started happening once I got off of it. So my hope is that everything will come back good and life will get back to normal.
Now, this is random, but do you think it's possible that maybe now you have a B12 deficiency?
I don't think it would be that fast because I was so high above. I will get tested this week to see where I'm at,
Okay.
but I'm having all of the symptoms of B12 deficiency, like the nerve headaches, the my fingers and things, even 50% of people with tinnitus have a B12 deficiency. Like, Joel's like really, he's like, this has got to all be connected. Like,
yeah, it sure seems like it. That's why I asked.
Yeah. So I'll find out where I'm at.
Like,
so
do you take like a multivitamin or anything like that?
No, I'm not doing anything right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm just trying to, like, I stay away from B12.
Well, but you eat, like, you eat pretty healthy.
I'm doing
right?
much better. Yes.
Okay.
Much so, better.
I can't remember off the top of my head what naturally has B12 in it.
Eggs, which I eat a lot of eggs.
Okay.
Meat. I can't remember. I've looked it up, but I'm trying
to.
Yeah,
yeah. I forgot.
While I'm
Anyways.
Coming off of it. Sorry. Anyways, we'll see when I go to get my B12 tested. Of course, the doctors don't think that's what it, oh, no, it has nothing to do with it. But I'm like, this is too many things that are just like, yeah. Once I figured out I had the high B12 and cut it out, my whole, like, all these weird things started happening. So they also say you can't get too much in your system. And I had more than they'd ever seen. So it was like 2000 and you can't see above that. They said it was just above 2000. And then the next time I did it, it was 1500. And then I'll do it again this week. It'll be another 4 weeks. Hopefully it's down to like 1000. So anyways, all that to say, it's been a really hard, like, spiritual time too. Just a lot of praying, a lot of crying, a lot of just like, God help me. And a lot of just like fighting to be in a good place mentally. But God's definitely given me the strength every day, to do that. And I read a really good book called Atomic Habits. The good thing about insomnia, I read for hours, finish a book, like, but it's so good about like habits and like becoming a person, like, that habits should come from within, like what your identity is. So if you're like, I am a person who eats healthy, you are more likely to eat healthy because that becomes your identity. Every time that you do that, you like feed that identity and you become that person. It's like a spiral. And so I've got a bunch of goals, things I'm excited about in 2024. So yeah, lots of good things coming up. I'm really enjoying working with a lot of people with grief recovery. New thing, I haven't told you this either. I'm looking into becoming a biblical counselor. This is another thing in my insomnia I found, that it's not like the same as like going through years of school. You can do it through a nonprofit, a church, a ministry, where you can say you're a biblical counselor. So there's a whole bunch of certification programs. So I'm talking to somebody on Monday about one of those. It's called Holistic Biblical Counseling, which also has to do with nutrition, which I'm really interested in now, because a lot of times after grief recovery, they want more, but I don't have another program. So I'm like, if I became a biblical counselor, then I could keep working with them. So that's on the horizon. That might happen in 24. I'm also dedicated to finishing my book this year, and yeah, lots of good things. So
nice. That's cool.
That's it in a nutshell. So
well,
let's get on.
I am not doing any of that stuff. But I have good stuff on the horizon too. I just don't know what it is yet exactly.
That's all right. You don't have to know. All right, so let's talk about our topic. We don't have to have an exact title, but basically,
Why don't we have to have an exact title?
As you guys know from last time, we have AI that does it for us. It's wonderful. It's great.
We don't even. All we have to do is think of something to talk about.
We just talk, and then
AI names it. Sometimes
I mean,
we name it.
Think
still,
about it.
Right?
We used to spend like 20 to 30 minutes trying to find a title.
Oh my
now
gosh,
it's so much easier.
I know.
Like forever.
Or a topic.
It's a good start. Yes. So now we just talk, but we've been. Like coming up with this came up from a few different places that people wonder, did your healing, like where you're at today in your grief recovery, your healing, did it come because you're in love again? Did it come because of that? And we're both here to tell you no. Like it was something that happened before. I think we answered a question about this a few weeks ago, but we're going to talk more about that today. So Mark, why don't you start us off? Where do you think like your healing came from? When do you think you had the healing? I mean, I know it's a gradual process, but like, what are your thoughts on this? If somebody's like, oh, you're doing so good, you're healed because you're in a relationship. Like, what do you say to that?
Well, yeah, it's definitely not just because of that, because, first of all, I was healed enough to want to be in a relationship. That was not always the case. It took me, you know, it didn't take me super long to be interested in the idea of it. I think it was probably 6 months. I don't remember. You know what I mean? I don't remember the exact timelines, but so that just that alone, that I was ready for another very serious relationship expresses how much my heart had healed. But, Gosh, there's so much stuff that helped, but most of it was I spent so much time, and you remember because you knew me then, but I spent so much time focusing on God and what it means to be saved. For some reason, that meditation, just really thinking in depth about what it means that I'm saved, it just gave me this perspective of like, and this might sound weird to some people, but in a sense, what happened to Lacey isn't reality. Reality is that God called her home to where she's really supposed to be. And it gave me this sense of like, Lacey's fine. I just need to get through this. And that helped a little bit, to be honest, because I've mentioned this before in here several times, but I didn't feel bad for Lacey once she passed. I felt bad for her when she was suffering. I mean, I felt horrible. I mean, feeling bad doesn't even begin to describe what I felt watching the anguish. But once she passed, I had this feeling that came over me that was like, oh my gosh. Like, and this is a little dark. So if your kids are listening, if you're in the car, you might want to change it at this point. But, I remember looking over at her when she was dead and just standing there staring at her being gone. And just this feeling came over me, this very weird feeling that I was like, oh my gosh, like you're there right now. Like you're in the place where we have dreamed about and talked about. And the whole reason for our faith, is that we're, our hope is heaven. And I was like, just this overwhelming feeling. I was like, oh my gosh, like everything we ever talked about. Oh, one day when we get to heaven, or Lacey would say things like, I think heaven's going to have this just randomly. She would like be really enjoying something, zip lining or whatever it was. And she'd be like, I think this is going to be in heaven. What do you think is going to be in heaven? And I'm like, anything that is just awesome is going to be in heaven, And so it was just this weird, overwhelming feeling that she was in that place that we had talked about for years and years and years. So that was one of the things that helped me. But the, having a support system, having people around me that were lifting me up, that were encouraging me. There were so many things. The podcast helped me out a lot, but I think talking about it openly was something that helped me a lot because the podcast. This podcast is the one place where I've felt comfortable before meeting Tina, where I felt comfortable sharing my truest feelings because I just have a microphone. And like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Wedding Singer, but he's like, I have a microphone and you don't, so you'll listen to every word that I have to say. No, but it's like, just for some reason, it felt different to me. There's so many things that I shared in this podcast in the past that I wouldn't have shared with friends because it was too dark, too heavy. But here it's like people saw it as like vulnerability and being real and being honest. And so there was something about that that was very healing for me, which is why I've encouraged people to talk about it, find an outlet. So anyways, that's me kicking it off like Beastie Boys, kick it. So don't shake your head. I'm awesome
Yes, keep
and
saying
humble.
that.
That's my goal for 2024, by the way, is
To be
I was
humble.
already extremely humble, but I'm going to be the most humble man on earth in 2024. That's my goal.
That's a
And
great goal.
I think that's an ambitious, very kind goal, that I'm going to give my humility to the world. So anyways, what do you
Perfect.
I'm such a dork.
I
What are
just
you
wanted
thoughts?
I wanted to comment on the perspective, eternal perspective. I think that's something even the last couple weeks when I've been dealing with all this stuff is like, this is not our home. Like, God didn't promise us perfect health on earth and all of these things, and just shifting the perspective to like, this is nothing. This is like this little amount of time compared to eternity. And so that's been helpful even just in the last few weeks for me. I would
Nice.
say definitely like I was on the road to healing way before Joel. I dove in. So I also had anticipatory grief. So I started right away with grieving Luke before he was gone. And if you're not
Right.
familiar with the term, I remember the first time a widow actually told me about and palliative care, those two places, told me about anticipatory grief. They said it's like you're on a train track waiting for the train to hit you, and you know it's coming. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly. Wow. Yep. So that's powerful. So I had a lot of that beforehand, and then I dove into every book, every person I knew that was a widow I called. Like, I just was like, I need help. I went to a grief retreat, which you guys know I've talked about that many times. I got grief counseling and just like dove into it. So I think having a willing heart to get better is one of the biggest things. No matter where you're at in your journey, you can start today, whether it's been 5 days, 5 months, 5 years, whatever. Like, you can start today with having a willing heart to like, okay, God, I want your healing, and like pray for opportunities. I remember the grief retreat came about because a friend saw it on Instagram and sent it to me. She's like, hey, maybe you'd like this. You know, like, God will put things in your path. Like, who knows? Let's just think about this, going back to the butterfly effect. Who knows if we'd even be doing this podcast if my friend hadn't sent me that, because that's where I had the vision, the thing that I ended up telling you. I mean, it's crazy. So be open to different opportunities that come your way. Be looking for ways that you can improve yourself. A lot of my healing came from the middle of the night, crying out to God, nobody else there. Just pouring my heart out, asking to be held, asking for peace. And he would always bring it. Like you said, community, having a good group of people to reach out to. But it's definitely like, so yes, I'm married again, but that is not what caused the healing. So I think I was about 18 months out when I started dating Joel. And I'd done a lot of healing. And you know, if you guys want to see proof, go back to the beginning of our podcast. Like, we'd been doing at least half of these podcasts before we met our significant others. Like, God had done a lot of healing in our hearts. And I think that's the most important thing is, like, while you're waiting, we've talked about this before, like, work on yourself. But yes, does he enhance life and make it better? Oh, a million times, like 1,000,000%. Do I still have grief? Yes. But it's different. Like, I'm in a different season now where I don't have loneliness anymore because I have a husband who lives with me now. But I still miss Luke, and I miss, like, I cried on his birthday the other day just looking through pictures and all that. And I miss him for my kids. And I have grief sometimes that my family is not a whole family unit anymore. And in fact, that's one of the things Peyton said on Luke's birthday. He's like, our family's broken. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, it's broken. I go, well, that's usually, you refer to divorced families as broken. Like, it's not the same, but it's not broken. But he just was like picturing it as something that he wants it to be with his dad, obviously.
And I get it. I feel like it is broken.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the traditional, what you say, broken home or whatever.
Right.
But it is a very broken life, and there's no fix to it.
Yeah. So he was talking about that. But anyways, just going back to healing, I think it is pursuing, like, you have to want it. Like, you have to pursue the healing in your heart. And dating just to find, to like fill that void, which I feel like I might have done that some in the very, very beginning before Joel. It was more like, I'm just like trying to fill a void. That's not the way to do it. Like, it's when you are healed enough that, I mean, it's just like I teach my kids, like, you got to be the best you can be before you date somebody. Like, you want to be the best version. It's the same thing. Like, we want to be healthy and whole before we never want to rely. And I've done this in my life too, where I rely on one person too much. Like, you never want to have anybody like above God, like where they should be in your life. I had a very unhealthy, like, best friend years ago, and it was definitely, what's the word? Oh,
toxic.
Yes, but there's a word for, I'll remember it, some kind of relationship that's not good, where you rely on each other. Like, one person likes to be the one relied on.
Oh.
It has a name. My counselor told it to me. I will remember it. Yes,
Tina and I have talked about this, and she's probably going,
I know, it's right there. I know what it is. Okay, I'm going to
codependent. I'm gonna
read them. That's it. That's exactly what I was looking for. I had a codependent friendship, and I saw how unhealthy it was, because sometimes I would like, it was when Luke was really sick, and I would go to her for comfort rather than God. And like the same thing when you are like trying to date again and all that, you want to make sure like you're getting comfort. I even have to check myself now, like, okay, like, Joel's my husband. He cannot fix me. He cannot, like, I need to go to God for all of my strength and like everything that I need. Joel is an amazing bonus, but it is God. And so I think that's one of the most important things in healing is getting everything you need from God, but asking God to send you the friendship, send you the people. God, give me my manna today. Like, give me what I need today so that I can survive, so that I can move forward. So I would say those are some of the things.
Yeah, well,
my healing.
So I have some proof. Like, if you think about this, think about where our hearts must have been to come up with some of these titles that I'm about to name. This is episode 3, Faith Through the Fire. Episode 4, Finding Joy in Grief. Yep. Episode 6, Know That You Were Chosen. Episode 7, It Will Get Better.
Yeah.
Episode 8, Navigating the Negative Emotions. 9, Pursuing the Positive Emotions. 10, Grief Triggers, But God Delivers, you know, and so on. And, you know, obviously we've done some
baby widows.
We're widow widows.
We were widow widows. And God had already given us those things to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you can obviously hear that we have more healing in our hearts now. And yes, of course, Tina has provided me a tremendous amount of healing. But to say that she is the reason that I am healed would not be accurate, or to say that I am the reason that she's healed. And neither one of us, I wouldn't say any of us are actually healed.
Right.
But we can fully function and live as normal of a life as possible. And we've talked about it's our new normal. So I don't think a day goes by where Tina doesn't miss John or I don't miss Lacey. I don't think that happens. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. You know, of course we've talked about this before, intensity goes down.
Yeah.
Frequency goes down. But so yes, we've been asked before do you think the reason you're so happy is because you found someone else? And it's like, absolutely not. Because, at a certain point in my life, nobody could have brought me happiness. I was broken. And, you know, I did my best to be positive. And also, you mentioned the, pre-grief, is that what you called it? What did you call
Anticipatory
it? Anticipatory grief. Yeah. That was more smarter. Yeah. I said that.
It was.
So, and more better. So anticipatory grief, right? We had that. So maybe it's possible that we found healing in our hearts sooner than a lot of you will or would have, but you still can find the path to recovery by seeking books and podcasts and counseling and different things, and God, of course, number one. Because also, Tina was very much feeling like her spirits lifted in life more so than they were before, you know? And she did have a very different loss. She did not have anticipatory grief. She found out in an instant that her husband had died. And so we can't pretend to know what it's like for everybody, but the question has been asked to us. And so this is the only experience we have, is having anticipatory grief. So yeah, there's choices you make, just like anything in life. So somebody like me who prefers to be in a relationship, a serious relationship, over being single, that has nothing to do with being widowed. That's just my preference in life. I would much rather prefer to be in a long-term, committed, loving relationship with somebody than I would to be single. But does that mean that, again, taking being widowed out of it, does that mean that I couldn't have been a happy person single? No, but I would just be happier if I was in a relationship. And so, so I think that's kind of like the same logic for this is, you know, we did find a lot of healing. And like Michelle said, you can go back and listen to our episodes. We've always had the goal in this podcast of delivering a positive, uplifting message. There are a lot of widowed podcasts out there. that nothing negative about them at all. I've heard they're great. Tina's a big fan of one of them, and I don't know if it's okay that I say the name, so I'm not going to, but because they're not a Christian podcast. But at that time, she needed the rawness, and she needed like the not everybody just trying to make her feel better. She wanted to hear some people who were going to tell it how it was. So there's a lot of podcasts out there that you can listen to for that. We wanted to be something different. And I'm not saying there aren't other ones like ours or whatever, but we wanted to be uplifting, pointing people to God, recognizing that our faith is what gets us through, that we can still have faith in God through this difficult time. But I'd say the number one thing is learning how to become heavenly minded. That's where all you see in life is I am here until I get there. But that is home. That is home. That, I mean, if you think about it, like, what do we live? 90 years if we're lucky versus eternity. But yet we spend so much time focusing on this little blip, this little grain of sand compared to all of the beaches on earth versus one grain of sand from one beach, from one state, from one city. We focus on this one little grain of sand versus every grain of sand at every beach on earth. And that still doesn't even define eternity. So anyways, I think that it's so important for us to be heavenly minded and recognize that we're only here for a short time. And that when you understand that, then you want to make the best of what you have here. And that's another thing that I would say helped me tremendously, was deciding that I want to be even a better husband next time. And I do, and this isn't me being humble, like joking around, but I do feel like I was a really excellent husband to Lacey.
Yeah.
And like, I know I was, and, but I want to be even better next time I get married. You know what I mean? And, because I don't want to sweat anything that doesn't matter. I don't want to like be hanging up on small petty stuff, because I'm like, I could die tomorrow. And then who cares about this little thing about, you know, whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever it might be. I don't know. Somebody makes a mistake, right? They accidentally paint your shoes, whatever. That's the first thing that came into my mind for some reason. Yeah, I don't know why. I was picturing that one time my father-in-law was up on a ladder painting.
Oh,
okay. And we were all painting. We were painting this cabin. And so he came up behind me and rolled a paint roller on the back of my legs and across my sandals. So naturally, I got him back. And so I rolled his sandals with paint. And he was like, these are like $100 sandals. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, but anyways, so I started thinking about that for some reason as I said that. Well, but so
now it makes a little more sense, because I had no frame of reference. Like, what?
I know. I know. But that's just, I was trying to think, well, what's like a mistake? And that just popped in my head. So, you know, but anyways, whatever it is. So Lacey, one time I had just gotten a brand new car and I was super stoked on it. It was a car I really wanted. And so I got this car, and within me having it for like a month, I had bike racks on the top. And so she asked if she could take my car so she could go for a bike ride that day. And I said, yeah, of course. And so when she was getting the bike down, she dropped the bike on my car and it put a big old dent in it. And she was like hysterically crying and felt so bad. But I remember telling, I was like, honey, like, it's a car. It's fine. But I used to not be that way. And this had nothing to do with her dying, but this, I learned that little things don't matter. As much as we make them out to. And really, think about it now. Like, if I would have made some big deal out of that, but like, where's that car now? I don't even have that car anymore. So it's like, who cares? But you know, back in the day, I used to get something new and I'd be all protective over it. And it was like, no, don't touch it. Don't do anything with it. You know what I mean? So anyways, I feel like I'm going to apply that logic to my next marriage. And I already do in my relationship with Tina. I try really hard to like, you know, if she's like, oh my gosh, I did this, I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. You know, and she does the same, because we know what real stuff feels like.
Yes.
You know, like you were saying before we started recording, you were like, it's not cancer. I mean, I know it's real to you, but that's a very valid point. It's, you know, we know what real suffering looks like. And
Yes.
so, anyways, I've been babbling for a while. I'm
No,
sorry.
it's good. I was just thinking of another thing that helps, and I would say in both of our healing is helping others. You don't have to start a podcast. You're welcome to do that. But there's lots of ways to help others. And I find even now when I'm struggling with my physical stuff right now, if I'm helping others, I'm thinking less about what's going on with me. And it's
That's true.
definitely helps with everything. And so I would say with this, look for ways to help others. Even if you've only been a widow a few months, we were like 5 or 6 months into this when we started a podcast or something like that.
I was
We were
three.
able.
I think I
When
was
you
3 months.
started?
You were six.
Well,
'Cause you're
when we
3 months ahead
start,
of me.
well, we started it in May.
Okay, you figure it out.
So I guess that was,
Oh, you were,
I
no. I
mean,
was, no, sorry. I remember
oh,
the
never
first
mind.
episode.
Wait, it
I
was
was
like
like
a
8.5 months. Yeah,
year. I
you were
was
like a
like
year.
11, almost a year. Anyways, we were
Yeah.
still baby widows when we started the podcast. The point
Yes.
is, you don't have to have years of experience. Like, we were just like, we're just going to share what we know. And so even if you've only been a widow a few months and there's another widow who's struggling, whether they're less time or more time, it doesn't matter. If you have some wisdom to give to them, some hope, some inspiration, reach out to them and
Yeah.
let them know, like, here's what I've learned. Like, I'm not an expert, but here's what I've learned. And look for those opportunities. Or it doesn't even have to be about widows, like help in your church, volunteer. Like,
Yeah. Write
when
an
you take,
inspirational post on Facebook.
yes,
Like
anything.
whatever.
Like, when you
Yeah.
Take the focus off of yourself and your pain, I know this helps me. Like I said, even currently, it really helps me to not think about what's going on with me and not be. My mom even said something to me the other day when I was crying to her about my stuff. And she was like, "You need to stop thinking about yourself so much." And I was like, "What?" And she's like, because she has like chronic pain. And she's like, when I think about myself so much, then it's worse. But think about, like, why don't you think about other people and not be thinking about what's going on with you? And I was
That's
like,
really
that's
good.
true. Like,
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
really
it's
good.
that's true. And then she also, you know, I forgot about this. There's a widow in our area from a few years ago who the I'm not sure all the details, but the husband ended up like shooting himself, shooting the baby, and then shooting her, and she's
Oh my
paralyzed, and her
gosh.
husband and her son are gone.
Oh my
And I was like,
gosh.
perspective, I can handle a little ringing in
Right?
my ears. Like, I just it's like it's always can
Wow,
be
that's
worse.
tragic.
I mean, there's just so many, which I do actually want to reach out to her and see how she's doing. There's so many things that could be worse. Anyways, the point is think about others, not just
Yes.
yourself. Because I mean, we can tend to be selfish and think about ourselves and be. I can find myself with the 2 months of health issues I've had becoming all consumed with what's going on with me. And I know that's how it can be when we're going through grief. Also, we can be all consumed with why aren't people reaching out to me? Why is this happening to me? Blah, 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 blah. But when I stop, collaborate and listen. You know I had to do that. Anyways, when I stop and I'm
That
like,
was awesome.
no, like I'm going to think about other people, then it helps me to put things into perspective, eternal perspective, which is huge. I've learned a lot of that from you. Like that is such an important thing to be doing. Then it helps with the healing process. Side note,
That's
there's
good.
a 90s tour coming to like an hour away with Vanilla Ice, CC Factory, something, and then All for One.
Wait,
Like
CC
all
Music
CC,
Factory.
yes.
CNC
And
Music
see,
Factory, I
that's
think it
it.
is.
Yeah. But Joel was
Oh
like,
gosh, what
Vanilla
was this?
Ice. He's like, you know, he grew up in Brazil. So he's like, that's Ice. They sing Ice Ice Baby. I'm like, well, he sings Ice Ice Baby. Anyways,
That's
we might go to it. I love the 90s tour. That's what it's called. I thought that's kind of fun.
awesome.
I know. I was like, that's perfect. He always wants to go to a concert. So I was like, let's go to that. Anyways, that was a
Have to
total
look this up
side
real
note.
quick.
CC Music
CNC
Factory.
Music Factory, because oh yeah. Oh gosh, how does it go? Oh yeah. Everybody
Gonna
dance
dance
now.
now. Bum, bum. I had like a whole dance to that in eighth grade. Yes, I remember that totally. Seventh
Move.
grade.
Work it all night. Yeah, I remember that song.
So anyways, that'd be a fun little concert to go to.
90s were awesome. So yes,
Yes.
you're
Anyways,
going
got
back
way
to
off
it. Yes, a little
stop
bit. That
zone.
it's always okay to talk about the 90s.
I
Also,
know.
though, a
People
good
like it.
thing is something really, really powerful and very therapeutic is glorifying God through your pain.
Yes, true.
Like recognizing to people that yes, you're in a great deal of pain, but God is still good. When and also, like I've talked about this before, the power of positive thinking. as you tell yourself things, they become truth. It absolutely becomes truth. The more you tell yourself something, the more it becomes truth. And so if you tell yourself, like, God is still good, God is still good, God is still good, it's so easy to go both ways on that in the beginning. You can, you know what I mean? We can fall down a very negative rabbit hole. But if you choose to believe God is still good, and people have dealt with much worse things and still praise God, and I can do that too. And it's very, very powerful to people. When people see you praising God and they know you're going through hell, they're like, wow, like how inspirational. And so that's a good thing. Also, like, just expanding more on what you said, for serving people, if you have a skill or a gift, like, let's say you're good at woodworking, or, you know, I was going to name all the things that I know how to do. I was going to say, or carpentry, or, you know, or what's, or like mechanics. No, but if, like, if you do hair and nails or makeup, or you're good at organizing or cleaning or whatever it might be, something you're good at, like, offer your skills to somebody and say, hey, like, I really need to get out of the house and do something.
Yeah.
And I'd love to, like, bless you. Could I, like, let's say you're great at cooking. Say, could I bring you guys a meal tonight? Like, it would really feel good to my heart if, like, I could do something for somebody and just go all out and make them, like, a really nice meal or something, you know, like, or if you do nails or makeup, say, like, hey, like, I really need to, like, do something today. I'd love some, like, community time. Could I do your nails today? Or something, whatever it might be. I don't know, whatever your skills are, or start a Bible study, or, but just surround yourself with positive people. That is like so powerful. That's another one of those things that I would go back to the beginning as something that helped me, is I surrounded myself with positive, loving, good Christian men. And gosh, that sure helped. You know, having people that would show up at my house. I'm thinking of John and Brian, some of, you know, some of my best friends in the world, and Chris Keeler also, great friends, that these guys would come pray with me at the drop of a hat. And I remember Brian and John coming over one night. I interrupted their dinner and was like, hey man, is there any way you guys could, like, call me and, like, just pray with me over the phone or something? And within minutes I got a response from John that said, on my way. And Brian responded right away too and said, me too. And they just showed up at my house. They left what they were doing. They left their families. And we had this, like, hour long prayer session where we all just took turns praying, and we were all crying, and they were hugging me and just tell, you know, we were just having good heart to heart conversations. And they were telling me how much watching me over the past year really helped them, and just all these uplifting positive things. So, you know, this from network marketing too. You are like your 10 closest friends. So surround yourself with positive people and you will pick it up. So anyways, those are my little things.
I thought of another thing, is have some things to look forward to. In fact, on my last session in grief recovery, I'm always like, so what are you looking forward to? Like, you've got to have something. So whether that's you plan a trip for yourself, I took the kids on some trips, you plan to, I don't know, if you like to go running, you've got a special run you're going to do, like, something that you like to do that you can look forward to. Like, it's always, I think it's always good in life. Like, what's the next thing I'm really looking forward to? We want to keep that hope and keep that, the positive. And so sometimes when you go through a really dark time, it's like, I don't even know. And so find something, have somebody help you, have a good friend or family member help you. Like, what's something I can look forward to? Will you help me think of something? They'll help you. They want to help. They don't know what to do.
Totally.
So if you say, I need your help, I guarantee they're going to brainstorm ideas with you and help you come up with something that will give you, like, a purpose and a thing
to look forward to. That's a great one.
Yeah, I just remember in the beginning, it was just this down feeling that you don't even look forward to anything, like, not even eating, like, nothing, you know, and then it starts to come back where you do look forward to things. But I know that was important to me right away. I planned some trips with the kids and just started to try to, like, figure out what are some things that make me happy that I can look forward to. Spending time with friends, like, that's also been really important. So I would say, definitely do that. If you don't have anything you're looking forward to, ask yourself right now, say it out loud right now. What are you looking forward to? I'm going to listen. Say it.
They didn't say anything, Michelle.
No, I heard it. They're shouting it.
That was messed up. They're just ignoring
Anyways,
you.
say it out loud and
Yeah.
then write it down. Put it on your calendar, like a wish without a plan. Wait, how does the saying go? Something without a plan is just a wish. Like a goal without a plan is just a wish. And so you got to write it down. And we know this from network marketing, like things happen like 90% higher if you write them down.
Yeah.
I encourage you, like, you don't have to do like 100 goals, but give yourself like some goal for 2024. Like, what is something, anything, you've got to be going towards something. I know I go crazy if I don't have a goal. Like,
yeah. Write encouraging notes on your bathroom mirror.
Yes. Like, I used to say stuff to myself on my phone and play it back on the voice recorder, like positive things, like, you know, be making the most of every moment, like really, like no pain is wasted. You did not go through this so you could sit in your house for 5 years and cry and not like affect anyone's life. Yes, we have our time where it's hard to get out of the house, all of that. I'm not saying that, like, but I mean like forever, like you were not meant to stay there. If you have breath in your lungs, you are made to do something. I don't know what it is specifically for you, but you're made to do something. You're still
and
here.
And this is a harsh. This is like harsh. I remember the first time I said this on the podcast, I felt like it was too harsh, but it's real. So again, I'm getting real.
Getting real.
Just because they died, you don't have to. And that doesn't mean you love them any less. That doesn't mean that you don't miss them like crazy. You don't wish it was different, but don't die because they did. Don't like just let your life be over. Like they wouldn't want that for you. There's no way they would want that for you. They want you to go on and live your life and do positive things, like life, you know, life changing things and world changing things if you have the opportunity, whatever it is. And we can change the world without having to do things for billions of people. We can change the world by deciding small things. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to go help that homeless guy on the corner. I'm going to go ask him his name and pray for him right there on the spot or something like that, you know, and that is the kind of thing, those kinds of things are world changing. Also, like, decide, like, I'm going to stand up for what I believe in. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to stand up for what I believe in or whatever, you know, little things like that. But there was something I wanted to say. So I've prefaced all of this by saying that I had already found a lot of healing before meeting Tina. That being said, I also want to be honest. I feel like she rescued me. I feel like she brought me back from a place of despair and a place of intense loneliness. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't happy. That doesn't mean that I wasn't positive. That doesn't mean that I was miserable to be around. That doesn't mean that I was miserable. But what she restored to my life was hope. And so I don't want to pretend that that stuff's not true and that I was just all great before I met Tina, because I want to be honest. But I would say the greatest thing that she restored to my heart was hope for my future. Mm-hmm. And, which is something that I believed it went from faith to a reality. Mm-hmm. Like that. I hoped I would have a good future. I hoped that my life would get better in those ways, you know, I hoped that I would find love again and that I would feel that connection with somebody again. It went from hope to reality. And so I do have to say that honestly, that Tina did bring a lot to my life that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But in regards to us talking about our healing, which is what we were talking about, so I just want to make sure to make that distinction that I did have a lot of void in my heart still.
Yeah.
Before meeting her. And so, you know, yes, there is absolutely a part of you that if you meet somebody, you in the audience, if you do meet somebody else, they will put something in your, if you fall in love again, let's say, they will restore something in your heart that was not there, no matter how much healing you have and no matter how happy you are and outgoing and whatever. There will be something back in your heart that was missing. So I just, you know, I just want to be real and honest. So that yeah. those are my you know, my feelings on that.
Yeah. I mean, I see that you know, God made a promise to restore and redeem everything I lost in a marriage, you know, with Luke being sick so much and all that, and he's definitely done that through Joel. Do I think I'd still be happy without him? Yes, but I'm at a whole different level now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gave me that hope of an amazing marriage and all of that stuff. And so I definitely get what you're saying, that it's like, yeah, we can be happy, but if we desire to have a relationship, like, it can be even like a whole different level, like, because mm-hmm. that loneliness piece is gone. So anyways, I think that's
and good. And you're right. And well, also, like, that's biblical in many ways, because God said, it was one of the first things he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And I know you're not a man, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it is not good for man to be alone. And, you know, we're not everybody feels this way,
right.
But we were meant to have a partner. Mm-hmm. To, you know, I mean, that's, the family doesn't work without it, you know? So, it makes sense that we had this massive void that of course has been filled, mm-hmm. in many ways. So, but you know, so anyways, that's, you know, just kind of, and I know I've been that for Tina in many ways too. Like, you know, she shared with me that, like, that you and I, first of all, like, taught her that it was okay to laugh again.
Yeah.
That it was okay to be happy. And I'm excited to do another episode that we're going to do based off of a message that Rob Linger sent me. And that kind of goes into that a little bit too. But so I'm going to, since I want to do, like, we're going to do like an episode around that topic. Yeah. So I'll get to that, you know, we'll get to that in a week or two, whatever it is. But anywho.
I think that's good. Anywho. I think we've shared a lot about what has helped contribute to our healing. So,
yes. Word up. And I do want to say one more thing. So yeah. If you guys are listening to this on launch day on Tuesday, please pray for Michelle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. All right. You want to go ahead and pray?
For Shizzle. Yep.
Okay.
Lord, thank you so much for, again, like, this ministry and all the positive that you have done through it. We pray, Lord, that people would see our healing that you have done, and that they would be encouraged that they can have the same thing by looking to you and praying to you and leaning on you. And I also pray for anybody who has these desires in their heart, that you would bring somebody into their life and encourage them to be talking to you about that and planning with you about that. And again, you know, we want to lift up Michelle for her scans coming up, Lord, and that you would find, you know, that you would help the doctors find whatever is going on, and that it would be reversible and better yet, just gone. Mm-hmm. I pray that it's gone by the time this scan comes around. But we pray, Lord, that you have your hand on her and your hand with Joel as he watches his wife go through this stuff. And so anyways, Lord, we just thank you for all you do. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you liked this podcast, give it a little bing, 5 stars, Apple Podcast, was... blah, blah, blah. I know. It's like, we've been doing this for years. You know what to do. Bing, 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 bing. Actually, side note, I want to go back to what you're praying about. So MRIs is a huge trigger for me. So I'm not necessarily like scared. I mean, the unknown is hard, but it's more because that's what Luke always did, MRIs. And so that is, yeah. And there's 2 40-minute MRIs. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Do you go into the trailers?
I don't think it's a trailer.
Oh, okay. Our Kaisers were in a trailer outside.
Yeah, one of ours is, but it's not the same place that Luke had his. So I'm thankful they didn't even have an opening there, which is great. It's a whole different place. I mean, it's by where he had chemo, but it's not the same as where he had scans. So I think it'll be okay. So I'm just ready to just move forward. Like,
yeah,
get this, you know, I've been struggling for like 2 months with like headaches and this and that, and I'm ready. I feel like I'm stepping into a new season. Like, I'm ready to move forward and keep working with widows and like all these things I want to do. And I feel like this health stuff has just been a distraction. And so, you know, but I've learned a lot, you know, just to have more empathy again for people going through things physically. Mm-hmm. because I've never been the one going through it. And so, yes, I could try to feel for Luke, and obviously his was way worse, but just actually being the one, it's a whole, I've been telling people it's a whole different level. Like, I've never experienced it when it's myself. Like, I feel like I'm really good at going through all the emotional stuff because that's what I've done. But the physical stuff is like a whole new level of testing, I guess, to be the one who's like physically having a hard time. But anyways, it's all going to be good.
No, I get it. I mean, it's scary. I mean, I've had things, nothing on the level that you're talking about, but I've experienced really bad chest pains. Mm-hmm. Where, and of course, like a dummy, I'm on Google, like, what does it mean to have chest pains? Like, that is like the worst thing to Google.
Yeah.
And so, but it turns out, you know, I have ribs out of place. I've talked about that before. And so I go to the chiropractor, get adjustments and things, but, it's known to cause chest pain. And so when you're all of a sudden you're like, oh gosh, like my chest hurts, you know, and especially as a dude that's 44 years old and excuse me, and being, having gone through what I've been through and also having known people my age who've had heart attacks. I had a friend who at 31 years old, he was sleeping. His heart exploded in the middle of the night and he died. It was like, just all of a sudden hey, he's gone, you know? And it was like, what? Like healthy guy, you know? So, you know, we just never know. We never know how much life we have left. And so, and so it's obviously small scale, but I do understand what you're talking about, that like it is scary, you know, and it does make you remember like, oh my gosh, like, she, you know, when I'm thinking of Lacey, I'm like, man, she was like a warrior, you know, and I know Luke was too. And just, they just faced their trials and, but I get it. It's scary. It's scary, especially when we see how easily the outcome can be death.
Yeah. I think like before Luke, I never worried about, I mean, I was like 24 when it started, like 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah. So I was
like,
say,
young, and everything like in my mind was like, everything's good. And then it was like a shock when things are bad. And so I think my head is kind of the opposite. Like, maybe I just prepare that it's bad and I'll be happy when it's good, but I don't want to live like that, you know?
Right.
I'm just, like, trusting God that like, no matter what, like, he will carry me through whatever. Like, he doesn't promise we're not going to have troubles. Like, but he promises to be there for us, and he's helped me through the last couple months. And I really do feel like, hopefully I'm on the mend of things. And, you know, just the way that the headaches went away, which was amazing. And I'll figure this ear thing out, whether I have to do like ear, like therapy to not hear the sound, but it's going to be okay. So anyways, also, if you want to be a guest, I forgot to tell you this, there's a few more people that filled it out. So we'll be getting to you.
Oh, cool.
I just checked it the other day and I was like, two more responses I hadn't seen. So we'll be reaching out to you. We are going to have a guest next week. We'd love to hear from you. So I think that's all the stuff. Connect with us, Facebook, Instagram, all the places. So
all the blah, blah, blah places,
all the stuff. All right. Well, thanks for listening to us for another hour. Didn't think it was going to be this long. It always is. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
God bless.
All right. Bye.